Okay, welcome everyone. This is a final shiur on Sefer Bereishis. What can we do? It ends. But we conclude our learning of Sefer Bereishis with a very interesting topic, which emerges from the brachos that Yaakov gives the brothers, which is, of course, the famous centerpiece of Parshas Vayechi. And we know that there are the back-to-back brachos of Zvulun and Yisachar. In Parak Memtes, Pasuk Gimel, we have the famous bracha to Yisachar, to Zvulun. Zvulun l'chof yomim yishkon. Zvulun will dwell by the beach, by the shore of the sea. V'hu l'chof anius v'yachrasu al Tzidon. And he's going to be at the ship's harbor, and his border will reach Tzidon. So as like most of the brachos, there's a lot of poetic references. But the upshot we basically have is that they're going to work as sailors, and that's going to be their geographical location as well as their particular profession. So Rashi, and then of course the next bracha is Yisachar Chamor Gerem Roveit Ben HaMishpatayim. So on the pasuk of Zvulun, so Rashi quotes the Medrash based on the pasuk later, of course, with Moshe at the end of the Torah in Dvarim Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yud Ches. Here, in Zos HaBracha, Moshe says, "Ulezvulun Amar, Smach Zvulun B'Teisecha, V'Yisachar B'Ohalecha." Again, the same order and a somewhat similar reference. And Rashi on our parsha references that pasuk and tells us what is going on here. Zvulun Yotze B'Prakmatya. As we see here, Zvulun was a businessman. It was import-export. V'Yisachar, what does that mean that he's going to be in the tent? V'Yisachar Osek B'Torah. And Yisachar will be involved in Torah. Namely, Hayizvulun Osek B'Prakmatya Umamsi Mozun L'Shevit Yisachar V'Hem Oskim B'Torah. They are going to take care of, they're going to support their brothers Yisachar. And that's what Pshat is, Omar Smach Zvul Mutisecha V'Yisachar Boholacha, as the Pasuk in Dvarim says. Rashi there, I think, also mentioned something. Zvulun V'Yisachar Asa Shutfus. They had a deal, they had a partnership. Zvulun L'Chof Yomim Yishkon. So here, Rashi quotes, in the Medrash quote, our Pasuk. In our Parsha, they quote Zosa Bracha, and Zosa Bracha, Rashi quotes Vayechi Ar Parsha. Zvulun Yotze L'Prakmatya B'Svinos. He was a merchant marine, Mustaker, and he made a living that way. V'Nosin L'Tok Pivshal Yisachar, and he supported Yisachar that way. And Yisachar Heim Yoshvin V'Oskin V'Torah. Therefore, L'Ficha Chiktim Zvulun L'Yisachar Shal Tarasla Shal Yisachar Ayidei Zvulun Haisa. And that's why, despite like that age-wise it should have been reversed, that's why Zvulun is always mentioned before Yisachar. It is interesting, it's Agav, on that point of the precedence of one over the other. So I'm reminded of the halacha, the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch, and it's actually a Pesach Tshuva developed the idea, and I remember it was last year or the year before when we had the Chinuch Atzmai parlor meeting here, the Nashville citywide thing, and Rav Aaron Feldman spoke, and Rav Shlomo Schechter spoke, and Rav Shlomo Schechter told this unbelievably amusing personal story about the first time he went away to do Masada Kedushin for a Talmud, which was in Toronto, and when he wanted to go just pay his respects, when he had come in early for the wedding, and he went to the Balabasta in Toronto, the people who had brought him in to marry off their son. So when the woman answered the door, it was a cleaning lady or somebody answered the door and said to her, who was in the kitchen or something, you know, the Schechters are here. So she's running in and she starts saying, "I want to meet the person that my son said he would always save before us if we were both drowning." This is how she introduced herself to him. So of course he was completely white and he was completely embarrassed. But then he explained and it could be that the son said it, but he never learned it in my shir. He said, "Why not? Because it's not true. Because Mistama, whether it's in my shir or any other place your children learned, you paid for them to go. It wasn't for free." And the halacha is the Farish. It's not quoted like that. That's not developed in the Rashi on Chumash, which we all know, in which somebody taught this boy. But in Shulchan Aruch, they say, on the contrary, if the halacha that you mocked in the Rebbe to the parent, because the parent brings the child into this world, but the Rebbe into the next world, That's only when the parent didn't have anything to do with the Torah. But it's beferish in Yerodei, if the parents paid for and enabled the Torah, so then the parents are also the ones bringing them into the next world, and therefore the parent would still go first. And that's echoed exactly by these Mamari Chazal, that there's a precedence to the one who supports and enables the Torah learning, even above the one who actually did the learning or the teaching. Variations of this Medrash about Yisachar and Zvulun come up in other places. There's a Tanchuma on our Parsha, in addition to the Bereishis Rabbah, and there's also a Bamidbar Rabbah in the context of the Karbonos, which has a very interesting Lashon, which the Chavetz Chaim picks up on, which we'll get to, where the Medrash there in Bamidbar Rabbah says, Kishem that Zvulun got a chelek of the Schar, so too, Kishem that as well, Yisachar gets a chelek of the money, which is, we'll see, perhaps it's an additional line which may have some other suggestive meaning. This is not just an idea which is mentioned in legend and lore and in Midrashim, but if you take a look in Yerodei and some Reishim and Vav, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that a person who can't learn, either because they don't have the time or the ability, so they can support someone else who is learning. And the Ramah actually adds, it's not that there's a machlokas necessarily, but the Ramah makes sure to add, and if you do so, it's as if you, the supporter, learned yourself. The Shaila is, which I really want to discuss tonight, I do not want to discuss the sociological question. I do not want to discuss the hashkafic question. And I don't even want to discuss where the rubber hits the road, which is the economic issue. I'll leave that to others or other contexts for me. But the halachic or the lamdash shaila, which is a really interesting one here and really is debated by the poskim, is how do we understand this relationship? What is the model that's going on here between the Yisachar and the Zvulun? And for the rest of the year, just to make it easy and not to be a tongue twister every other minute for me, we'll just refer to Yisachar and Zvulun with, you know, lowercase y's and lowercase z's, not necessarily the Shvatim, but Joe Yisachar and Joe Zvulun. What exactly is going on? What's the model? So if you take a look, one instinctive option, what does it sound like? What is it certainly related to? It's not a trick question. What is it? I'm giving somebody money. What does that signal in our mind? Oh, you're already getting to the not obvious shot. But that's good. Tzedakah. I'm helping out somebody. I'm giving them money. We usually call that tzedakah. So if you take a look in that Shulchan Aruch, in the Hagos or Riki Eger on the Shulchan Aruch, he is mitzayin to a Maram al-Shakar. Maram al-Shakar had a relatively similar life and was a contemporary, just 30 years or so older than the Beis Yosef, than Rav Yosef Karo, which will be interesting because we'll see that they're going to be arguing shortly. But also was from Sfarad and then eventually migrated to Eretz Yisrael. So the Maram al-Shakar has a tshuva that Rabbi Kivi Eger notes. If you take a look at that tshuva, it's a very fascinating tshuva. He was asked the following shaila about all sorts of deals that one could go in, where a person in essence is selling their zechuyos. And he mentions two examples, either fasting. Maybe the other guy doesn't want to fast or can't fast, so he'll give somebody money, and I want the zechus that you fasted. Mm-hmm. Or, the one that's more immediately connected to this, hakari b'torah. Right? I'm learning, he's not learning, I want to pay him. Can you make such a deal? That's the question that Maram al-Shakar was asked. So he says, listen, I don't really know much about this. There's no real makoros on the topic, he says. But there is a tshuva, I have a mesorah of a tshuva from Rav Haigon. It says Rav Haigon says that all of these things, all these eskemim, all these deals are ridiculous. They're imaginary. You can't sell schar. Schar is intangible. What's to sell? You can't sell schar. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Elamai, if I give money to help somebody, whether it's helping them put food on the table or helping them perform a mitzvah, that's a tremendous chesed, and I get schar, not because I get his schar that he learned. This is a very important distinction. I'm not getting his schar that he learned. I get schar because I helped him perform a mitzvah. And if I'll help him when his back is out because he was in the hospital and I take in his garbage, that's also a mitzvah that I helped him. So here I'm helping him perform mitzvahs. So if my money helps him perform mitzvahs that he otherwise wouldn't be able to perform himself, so there at least there's something that I'm doing well, I'm doing something nice and generous, so I get rewarded for that. But this idea that I'm going to buy his schar, says the Rav Haigon, says the Rav Shakar, it doesn't make any sense. I'm listening, I'm sorry. learned. I didn't learn. Do I know any of the Rashbaz that he did? I'm not sure. Why is it more shebukufa than learning? And the bottom line is, let's look at it this way. Each, right, the learning or the fasting or the anything is converted into schar. Once it gets converted to schar, at that stage in the pipeline, then I want to sell it. That's the shot. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't make any distinction, and one of the nafkaminas of the machlokas, which we have not yet fully developed, is that there is a machlokas achronim on this point, whether even if we say it's true about Torah, is it true about other mitzvos. But the chilik there so much is more just the uniqueness of Torah versus anything else. But I think the issue of Darush HaGufa, I don't think it's relevant here, because that, we're not selling, at least according to this approach, the act of the learning. Because that's no more doable, you would think, at least not by this model, than anything else. What we're saying is, once I've done my mitzvah, I have schar, it's in my bank account, and instead of letting it sit there and I'll collect it either when I'm having some saras in 15 years, or maybe I may have asked him, whoever, you know, and we don't get to decide when we get to cash out, that God gets to decide when he's going to give us our reward. But I do have some schar waiting for me. I do believe, it's one of the animamans, I believe that I'm going to get rewarded for it. So I want to sell you that schar. What's the difference how I got the schar, but now I got the money in the bank? That's the mentality. What does that mean?
Meaning that we can say that I'm able to transfer the mitzvah that he did from me, transfer it to the pastor, transfer it to me.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
Mitzvah should be transferable, basically.
That is what, well, that was the question. That is the question. The Maharam HaShakra was asked, can you transfer the schar? And he says no.
I'm just wondering if that's possible to have a termination of schar mitzvah if you see that.
I don't know. No. I don't think so. I thought you were going to say the opposite.
Yeah,
I don't think, if I have a chiv to learn, I didn't learn, according to this.
Well, I mean, there's something that's happening, and I just don't know whether that you're accomplishing.
Well, that's the shaila. According to Mar Shakar, nothing's happening. And there's nothing hocus pocus. You know, all it means, I mean, not any more than I enabled you to do something you couldn't have done. And assuming what you did is good, then what I did is good, then I helped you. Again, it's not a direct marshal, but I said, I think it, broadly speaking, it's comparable to helping you in any other area of your life. I'm helping you. It's a type. Again, I don't want to be that specific, but it's a type. You'll see, this will become more crystal clear when we contrast it with the other approach. But that's his very strong opinion. And again, the major point to understand is that the schar we're talking about, says the Maharam HaShakra from Rav Haigon, is my schar for doing something good, not me getting your schar as a freebie. That's his main contention. A whole different approach is really seems to be a more majority approach. Again, not that we'll see that. Not that there's nobody who holds like this Maharam HaShakra, but it seems like I think that the majority of Achronim and Rishonim seem to hold a different mahalach. And that other mahalach may emerge from the one place in Shas where this is discussed. If all these midrashim quoted around, Yisachar's rule, as far as I know, I did not do a computer check, but as far as I know, in the old-fashioned way, the Yisachar's rule concept is nowhere in Shas. A version of it, without the words, Bechlal Yisachar's rule, appears in one place in Shas. That's the Gemara in Sota on Daf Chaf Aleph. And the Gemara there, from another topic, was darshining a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Boz Yavuzu Lo, you will surely be ridiculed. You're ridiculed. So after the Gemara mentioned it in its purpose, the Gemara then says, by the way, I have another drusha, this is the bottom of Chafal from Aleph, another drusha that relates to that phrase. Omar Ula, what is it referring to? Lo kishimin achi azarya, velo k'rab yochanan de benesia. It's not, that's obviously a criticism, it's a pejorative, it's not referring to this Shimon, who is the brother of Azariah, or Yochanan, who was a Makurav, he was a close, he was a Ben Bias of the Nasi. What was that referring to? It'll be clear in the Mafreya when we see what the Gemara then says. But what is this pasuk referring to? Kehillel B'Shavna, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Who are they? The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he told us about these guys in Eretz Yisrael. Omar Hillel, Amar, he told us, Hillel v'Shevna achi hayu, havu. They were brothers. There were two brothers somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Hillel, who we refer to in the Talmud Yerushalmi or the Mishnah, that's the Hillel. Hillel asuk b'Torah. Hillel was a Rav, a Talmud Chacham. Shevna, Oved Iska, his brother was a businessman. Lesof, I don't know if it means mamish the end or in retirement, at the end of his life, on his deathbed, sometime later in the career, later in the story, Amar Lei Shevna, the businessman, says to his brother Hillel, Ta Na'arov V'Liflog, why don't we join together our respective gains and split them? I'll give you half of my money, and you'll give me half of the schar for all the Torah that you've done. And at that point, Yotza Sabaskol and ridiculed them. V'omra em yitain ishes kol hon beso boz yavuzulo. You think you're going to be able to buy all this? It's a ridicule. Everyone's going to laugh at you. It's a joke. The one story in Gemara that even mentions the concept completely rejects it. Says it's subject to ridicule. It's ridiculous. How could you imagine doing something? Oh, hold on one second. Good. That's what we're going to get to. So now let's go back to the first step of the Gemara. The Gemara did say, to be fair, the Gemara fleshes out the Hillel-Shevna relationship, but had told us that's not like who? That's not like Shimon and his brother Azariah, so we have a different brother relationship, or like Rabbi Yochanan and the Bein Asiya. So now we'll understand where Rashi gets his Chiddush from. Rashi says, because the Gemara never tells you what the other two cases were, but presumably if the Gemara is contrasting them, L'chora, those were also cases of a Yisachar Zvulun nature, but apparently those were considered laudable. It was only Hillel and Shevna that Gemara ridicules. And Rashi says this explicitly. Rashi tells us, who are these guys? Shimon Achi Azariah. Who is Shimon? What's Shimon? A lot of Shimons in the world. Who's Shimon? Tanahu. He was a Tana b'Mishnah Kavaisa Zvachim. You take a look in the first Mishnah in Zvachim. It quotes a Shimon. This is him. V'loma Torah Ayde Echav. And he was able to spend his life learning because he was supported by his brother. Shaya Osek B'Parkmatya, who was a successful businessman. Kadeshi Yachlog B'Zchus Limudo Shel Shimon. And therefore he gave him half his chus for learning, and his brother Azariah gave him half of his money. And therefore, Lakachu Nikra Al Shem Azariah Echav. Right? We don't usually have so-and-so brother of so-and-so. Right? As a Tana, they're usually mentioned either by themselves or the son of somebody. Why is he known as Shimon Ben Achi Azariah? To give kavod, to show the great zechus that Azariah had, that he supported him. Similarly, he says that's the relationship in the second case as well. Rabbi Yochanan Loman had the Nasi Shaim Farnaso. He was like a ben bayis by the Nasi, and the Nasi supported him. So, on the one hand, we have something clear in the Gemara. On the other hand, and I have a feeling Hillel may be anticipating it, but the Gemara does not make clear what the difference is. But the Gemara explicitly, or especially if you add Rashi, let's put it that way, between the Gemara and Rashi, what we have the following is, we even though no one's throwing around the terms Yisachar and Zvulun, but in essence, we have two models or two versions of Yisachar and Zvulun, with one held up to ridicule, and apparently another one, at least parv, and if not even, perhaps even laudable. So the Shaila, which obviously is begged, is the Gemara never tells us why one case was laudable, and one case was subject to ridicule. So before I ask Hillel what he thought, I want to suggest, before leading into that, and that's a question where the Rishonim discuss, but in order to introduce those Rishonim, I want to tell you about the Avkas Rochel. The tshuva of the Avkas Rochel, that's the tshuvas that were written by Rav Yosef Karo, as I mentioned before, a slightly younger contemporary of the Maharam al Shakar. And in his tshuvas, Avkas Rochel, Simon Beis, Rav Yosef Karo discusses this concept. If I remember correctly, I don't think it's with regard to our question in our Gemara specifically, but the larger issue. And he basically says, and about this, implicitly, warning the Avkas Rochel, he says it's ridiculous. Because in essence, what was Avkas Rochel saying? It's Alan throughout the word chesed. Whether or not you want to call it chesed, what is it for sure? It's tzedakah. And just, you're helping somebody, you're giving somebody something, money so they can live. Spiritually, physically, you're giving them tzedakah. Says Rav Yosef Karo, this is not a form of tzedakah. Yisachar, Zvulun, Azariah, this stuff is nothing to do with tzedakah. It's a misconception. Rather, it's a bona fide deal. It's a choshen mishpat, so to speak, halacha. It's a bona fide deal. It's a partnership. It's a heskeim, it's a shutfus that they have, where one person in essence invests, and what does each party, each partner brings? What? I invest the cash with you, and you are supposed to produce revenue. Except for in this deal, the revenue you have to give me is not pennies on my dollar, or hopefully dollars plus pennies on my dollar, but rather you're going to return to me the schar of learning. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, this is mamish ashutfus, and it's as if, since we're partners in the learning, it's as if I was learning. If I give you tzedakah to do something, it's not as if I did it. But that's, he says, it's not tzedakah at all, it's a shutfus. And therefore, it's as if, he says the Beis Yosef, it's as if he worked half a day, and it's as if he learned half a day. So it's a completely different getter than the Maharam HaShakar, who says it's a tzedakah. He says it's a form of shutfus. And in light of this, this may also explain the chiluk in the Gemara. Now, call on our friend Hillel. What did you want to say?
Similar. One is a prospective arrangement. One is
after,
a
retrospective.
Exactly. Who says this?
I've been around and lived the life of Rocky my whole life and then say, after I have my millions, you know, let me buy out your...
Very good. So who says this? Famously in the Rishonim, this is quoted by a number in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim was a Talmud of the Rosh, as well as the Tashbetz and the Chuvas. The Tashbetz and Rabbeinu Yeruchim both say that what's going on in the Gemara here is that when it comes to Yisachar Zvulun, that only works prospectively, or it works for future learning, future earnings. It does not work about past learning. It's not just a question of life of Riley. Maybe I want to say, listen, I'm going to wait and see who's the top guy. At the end, then I'll go over after a life of accomplishment. I'll say, Rabbi Yashiv, my name is Gottlieb. Perhaps I have a deal for you. No, if you're such a conniver, you want all of his schar, you know, you should have a good eye for talent. Call him when he's 13 or something. Call him when he's 23. Not when he's 93 or however old he is. That's exactly what the Rabbi Yerucham says. It's paskin by Ramah. When I mentioned to you that the Ramah Shulchan Aruch mentions as if you learn, then the Ramah adds, and this only works if you do it for the future, it does not work for the past. So think about it for a second. What's the pshat? Why would you say this chiluk? And it's very, very possible, although I think there are other ways to read the Gemara, but it's very, very possible that these two points are connected. Namely, if you view it as a shutfus, and therefore it's a skilu I'm learning, well, that only works if we were shutfus at the time of your learning. Right? Back to the Future was not yet released. This does not, you can't do it if I can't be a partner in Kilo I learned and learned that you did 50 years ago. Once we're partners, then I can be a partner and as if I'm learning in the future.
Bailout.
We don't believe in that. Once every 50 years.
Is this in the word, I think it's in the word. The real word is enabler. That's the difference.
Okay, yeah. Oh, no.
You're enabling the person to learn. Here at 50, when he's finished learning, he's enabling
anyone. I'm not missing it. I'm deliberately not using it because I'm going to get to that in a second. That's not what I mean here. It's a. I didn't mean to be so demonstrative. I'm just joking around with you. But seriously, I'm going to get to exactly what you're referring to in a second. But that's going to be different than what we're saying now. I'm not enabling. If I became a partner with you, would you look at me as enabling you? That's like almost, I mean, not to be too subtle or, enabling is almost a pejorative. We're partners.
I understand that, but
you don't call that enabling. I'll give you the marshal. I just got my fourth PhD from MIT, and I have the genius behind the idea to get the invention that's going to, I'm going to take down, you know, Microsoft and Apple all at once. But, you know, I need $100 million of venture capital to get off the ground. So if I go to, you know, Northern California and I get some VC firm, that one of them that still has any cash left, and I get them to give me the $100 million, and then we become what? Partners in the company. Would you say that they're enabling me? No, we're partners in it. You're each one is free. And I'm enabling them? How are they gonna have ownership in a company? They don't know how to turn on a computer. No, it's not. Enabling is a type of a chesed. Exactly. Right. Partnership is a different thing. We each have.
Right. You each invest something.
Yeah, exactly.
We each have
commodities to bring to the table. I have the learning, you have the money. But you can't do without me, I can't do without you. You're not enabling me. I'm
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense at all. It's just not what I'm saying. I'm trying to be mindful of something different.
He has plus the 100 million.
Huh?
Let's see, has the idea of plus. In other words, he could have done this. He could have started this counter.
You know, I tell myself that in the opposite direction. That I could have made the 100 million. I just chose not to, yeah.
But he wants to be part of it. So I allow him to be part of it, even though I could have invested my own money. But he wants to have a partner.
Yeah, but it's a completely different scenario. I mean, Louis, in theory, you're right. But
so
not that's what
I'm
we're talking
enabling
about.
Enabling it, but I'm still giving money. I'm becoming a business.
Good. So I'm going to get to that point in a second. But the bottom line is, this is really different than what you're saying, Beauty. This is saying that we're shutfin to skilu. I'm doing half the work, and you're doing half the learning. Who explains this halacha this way? The past versus future chiluk. So I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan says this. In your day, there in Sif Kut and Ches, the Aruch HaShulchan says it, and I'm not sure why he doesn't quote him, but I think in a similar vein, the Minchas Asher, it's the last piece in the Sefer Bereishis, so he also says a similar idea. But it really is, it's an Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan makes the point that the reason that Ramah would make this chilik, the reason that Rabbeinu Yeruchim would make the chilik between past and present, has to do with the Shutfus. So now, Rav Yodi, so let's turn the question. Well, I said there's only one quasi, it's not even halachic, but quasi-halachic. There's only one Talmud Bavli, and that seems to be supporting this model. So now, what's our good friend, the Maram al-Shakir, going to do with this Gemara? If I'm saying that really works well with this Ramah, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Shutfus approach, and he holds it more of a tzedakah approach. So first of all, if you take a look at the Meiri on the Gemara in Sota, so he figures out a way to go through the whole Gemara without even mentioning the past, the future. It seems to be Meduik in the Gemara by the line of Lebesof, which is exactly what Hillel picked up on. But the Meiri figures out a way to read the Gemara, totally downplaying that. So that's Aleph. But number two is something that I found much more contemporarily. This, your Machaveh to Rav Yodi, was in, of all places I saw quoted, there's a Sefer called, let me get the exact name, Smach Zvulun. That's a cute name, I guess that's what that is. And he has a Haskama from the recently deceased, one of the great Dayanim of Yerushalayim from the Enoch HaRedes, Rabbi Yisrael Fisher. I mentioned it for those who were not only here, but awake between Mincha Marav on the fast day, that I was quoting Yerushalayim Fisher, that's the younger brother of the other brother who had passed away. So Rabbi Yisrael Fisher, who passed away, was the great Dayan. He has like 10 volumes of Tshuvas. And he has a Haskama to the book. And in his Haskama, he says something which I think he doesn't use the word enabling, but I think that's what he means. And that is what he says, a completely different shot, or I think a different shot, really one that makes much more sense than the Maram al-Shakar. He says, what's the big mila of being the Yisachar, and specifically of giving it to me ahead of time? After all, at the end of the day, if the yeshiva man gets to pay his rent, because at the end of the month you gave him a check, so why shouldn't that be just as much Yisachar Zvulun as if I paid him at the beginning of the month? See, he says one thing, Harchavas Hadas, peace of mind. If you have it in advance, you have peace of mind. If you have peace of mind, your learning is different. The learning is different. So that's where I'd say, that's his kunst, is what's the chilik between before and after. Because before, he knows that he's been enabled. He knows he'll be able to do it. So if you take that approach, that's also, he's not saying anything about partnerships. The Maharam HaShakar didn't say this, but again, that would work with the Maharam HaShakar to explain why you have the hang-up of past versus future. Now, it's worth noting that no matter who you hold like, there are others who make this chiluk. Again, I think it works better with the shutfus approach, although we are suggesting that you could defend the chiluk even according to the other approach. And it's interesting that that Rav Shlomo Kluger had the following shiloh. What about if you have a Yisachar Zavulun who claims Mekachtos? He wants to get out of the deal.
He wants to get
out of the deal, right? So that is how, well, you know, so that happened with the Bach and the Taz. That's for another story, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think historically that happened with the Bach and the Taz. Bach was the Taz's father-in-law. I don't think he did support him, then he had to stop. He was better anyway. But Lamaisa, his case was not, I don't think it was not a father-in-law. But the guy, you know, I know somebody who does a similar, quasi Yisachar Zvulun, and I think either every week or every month, the Yisachar sends him Chodesh Torah. So you should know he's really doing something. Let's say you read them and you didn't like them so much. Let's say you read them and you found out that Joe Biden wrote them, meaning that they were plagiarized. You know, let's say you want to get out of it.
What happens if you want to?
Yeah, Exactly. Yeah, Ponzi scheme. Right. Some people who have a Ponzi scheme want to live in Park Avenue, and this guy wanted to live in Polo. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, I'm just being, you know, my theatrical self. It could be a much more toned down kind of a case. But the bottom line is, you want to get out of it. Are you allowed to get out of it? You know, can you get out of it? Good. So two people had a deal. Took time with us, Shlomo Kugar, the Tshuva. Two people had a deal for one person to buy the other person's car. And then the seller wanted to back out. So Shlomo Kugar, the way he... Matar to Shaila, he says, in this case, the guy could back out. But he says, because in that case, the deal was nothing. Why was the deal nothing? Because the deal was for past car. So he clearly uses this idea of past and future. He's mashma that if it would have been a future car, then it would have been a bona fide agreement. And who said you could get out of it? Any more than if I have a signed contract that says I'm going to buy from you every month 100 widgets, who said you can get out of it? In America, you know, in today, especially in the bailout culture we're in now, who cares about responsibility? And I'll get bailed out, and I'll file bankruptcy, but that's lav dafka, that's a halakhic concept. I have a deal. I have a kid. We have a real deal. Any more than if I paid you to build my house. I can't just back out of it. We have a contract. We have a deal. So the Shlomo Kugar says, no, because in this case you had nothing. Because you were assigning, you were agreeing on something in the past, and that's nothing. So that's just an interesting idea. We have another posting who holds that past future is important. Lamaisa, I want to share with you now for the next 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes, 4 or 5 nafkamina, which I think really come from this machlokas. Do you look at it as a quasi tzedaka, or do you look at it as a form of shutfus? The following very interesting shailas in the poskim. Number one, Rav Moshe has a very, very long piece, which we'll mention maybe at the end of the shir. He has a very controversial chiddush in that piece. But it's about a 20-page piece. I know it was published in, and if I'm not mistaken, it was initially published in the Sefer Zikaron of Schneur Cutler. I know this, you shouldn't think that I have the keyest in every Sefer in the world, but where I used to sit in the Hawaii Library for many years was next to one of the bookcases, and on that shelf they had the Sefer Zikaron, and this was my Chazor Hashat learning for a few months, was to go through that Sefer. So the Sefer Zikaron for Schneur Cutler, so... Rav Moshe, there they have this 20-page tshuva. It's now published in Rav Moshe Yerdei Chelek Dalid, where he has a whole long tshuva on Yisachar Zvulun, and he is adamant that the Maamar Shachar is completely wrong and has nothing to do with tzedakah. It's a total shutfus, and therefore he says nafka mina number one. There's no dine kadima. Have tzedakah, there's rules about who has first dibs, right? You're going to get something in the mail. You're in the Sochei Zvulun. I need Eretz Yisrael, I come first. Well, I'm in Yerach, I come first. Well, I'm your son, I come first. Says Rav Moshe, if you're going to do your Sochei Zvulun, it has nothing to do with that. You can pick whoever you want. Just like you can go into business with whoever you want, you can do your Sochei Zvulun with whoever you want. That's perhaps not for me, number one. If you see it as a form of tzedakah, you have to look at the tzedakah, the rules of Kadima. And a related note, the Chavetz Chaim mentions in the Sefer Avas Chesed that we have a notion, if you look at it as a mitzvah, so there's a limit to how much you're supposed to spend on any given mitzvah. Now he thinks, the Chavetz Chaim, based on the one of the Midrashim I mentioned at the beginning of the Shir from Avin Marabba, he's Madaik in that Medrash, that he thinks that it's clear that you really are supposed to be giving more than a Chomesh. It's not obvious necessarily that's the case. Who knows how much the person needs to live, and you may be making far more than that. But he's Madaik, he thinks that it is. So whether it is or isn't, but certainly Misvara, this is also connected, I would think. This is Lenny Estai, and this is also Nafkamina. Because if you hold it to mitzvah, whichever mitzvah it is, Chesed, Tzedakah, then we have rules about how much you are allowed to spend. Let's say, for example, forget how much I have to spend. Let's say, how much am I allowed to spend? Let's say the Kol guy needs $40,000 to live. And I only make 100. So I'm even allowed to do it. I'm a vizier just for chumash. But if it's a shutfus, it's a business deal. I may or may not be a good businessman, but there's a halachic limitations on how much I can invest.
But if it's a shutfus, does it work like if I want 50% of this car, do I have to give him 50%?
So that's what Rav Moshe is going to. That's what I'm alluding to from Rav Moshe later. I don't think you have to say that, but that is what Rav Moshe does say. But again, that's also connected. But the point is, whether I am allowed to give
but that I'm allowed to give more than a chomesh of my wealth, so that itself, l'chora, may be related to this, because if you see the shutfus, you're not going to be limited. Number three, here's a very interesting idea. Very, very interesting idea. And this relates a little bit to what Joel was saying. When you read these midrashim, or for that matter, the Gemara, all we see from this is that if you give me money to learn, you're going to get the schar of my learning, kilu. You learned, however you want to formulate it. There is nothing in those formulations, and I don't think necessarily it's logical either, although we'll see in a moment, it may be, to assume that if you're getting schar because the learning you help support, what's that got to do with me losing schar? Why should I lose any schar because you're getting? You get because you help me. Why does that mean I spritz the way the base matters? So that's the shaila. That's the shaila, the major discussion. When you say Yisachar Zvulun, the Zvulun gets a schar, did Yisachar lose anything or not? Forget how much, did he lose anything? So the Or HaChaim in Kisisa, in the Hafla, in his Hagdama, the Masechta Ketubos, says, no, why should you lose anything? And he gives the mashal of a candle. Right? The flame can light another candle, it doesn't lose any light of its own. Why should I lose anything?
In other words, if someone is a bull, so to speak, you're going to tell me that the same
time. But that's not because of its bull. In other words, you're saying, what, if I only had 10,000 dollars to live on and I still scraped and stayed in Kolel, I'd be a bigger tzaddik than someone with 40,000 dollars to live on. That's true. I'm not saying you're not right. But that'd be no different than you were giving me the money. Or, to pick a contemporary example, my wife was working and was making $40,000 and not 10. Now, that's nothing to do with somebody giving me it. It's just a question of, it was more hard for me. But that's not connected to this, because that would be true. If your chilek is right, then it wouldn't matter how I got the extra money. It's just, the more melech I'm being tochel, the more my pas will be worth. But I don't think that's related to this. Very good. That's what we're getting. Exactly, Jim. That's what we're getting. So the Chovetz Chaim, the Or HaChaim and the Hafla both say for sure that you wouldn't lose anything. But the Meshech Chochma in our Parsha and Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, they both say it's ridiculous. Avada Nevada. Of course he's losing Schar. And why? Why is it so obvious? Exactly as Jerry is Machaven. Because they hold it's a Shutfus. And if it's a Shutfus, just like if you gave my MIT guy all the startup money, he doesn't get to keep all the profits. You gave him the startup money so he would split the profits with you. So too, they said, if you helped me, we became partners. So it's as if I only learned half the dapim that I learned. The other half of the dapim, it's kilo you learned. That's your percentage of the deal. How come the Hafla sees that you're not going to lose any of the schar? The stama, because he holds it's completely different. There's nothing to do with that. It has to do with this tzedakah type idea. I don't think so. You still cook? I mean, I don't know whether you. I don't know. Halakha, but. What the role is. I'm going to stop you just because I want to finish. What the role or the schar of a woman who enables her husband to learn, so that's its own sugya. There are gemaras on that particularly. And the schar is, you know, yevshar. What's I'm saying? But I don't think it's considered. First of all, that's for sure true. And so, I don't think it's even. I don't know. If you saw Yisachar Zvulun as enabling, maybe you would be more inclined to model it. But I think it's usually treated differently. I mean, unless you have a real savvy wife who sits him down and it's an addendum to the ksuba. You know, you said you were the top guy. Well, I believe you, and I'm gonna invest in you. Okay, two more things quickly. One, which is also something that we asked before, I mentioned to Jerry, if it's only true about Talmud Torah, is it even true about other mitzvahs? So the Maharam HaShakar already implied he was talking about other mitzvahs, and the Tuftan V'Taz from the Kluger also talks about other mitzvahs. The Meshiv Dover has a tshuva, and many assume like this, implicitly, that no, this is a unique halach on Talmud Torah. So if it's just a tzedakah, so why should it be limited? If it's tzedakah, I'm helping you do something, so I help you do this, I help you do that, I help you do this. What's the difference? But if you're looking at it as this kind of a shutfus, it could be that Talmud Torah is uniquely, has this unique potential. And finally, a very fascinating nafkamina, which I found in a contemporary Torah journal from 6 years ago. Somebody had an article and he dug up also Tamar Makomos on the following shaila.
probably this guy's being supported by Zvulun, that he had enough time to think of this Shaila. But he said the following. He said, what if I give money to this guy who's supposed to be the best guy ever, and it turns out he's learning the whole time? Shalom l'shma. So let's leave aside that he'll be maybe one of these really bad guys with Almanaf Pekantar, better he should have died. Let's just say he's learning because he wants to be a Rashiv himself. That's lishma. He's going to get less schar than if he was learning lishma. What about me, the investor? Do I get the schar kilo I learned lishma, which is what I gave it for? Or do I only get, exactly, diminished returns in the low lishma? And what if a million years I wouldn't have thought such a shot. I don't leave this out of it, but let's just say he asks it more modestly. Do I get less schar? So he quotes a number of marmakomas that discuss this. I didn't even recognize some of the sfarim that he quoted, but two that stuck out. One is that he quoted something from Rav Shach, who said that, no, as a giver, I'm connected to the Maisa Limud. I'm not connected to your Kavana. So therefore, the fact that you had bad Kavana is not going to hurt me. As opposed to the Chavetz Chaim, he quotes from the Sikhos Chavetz Chaim, who says that you would be hurt. You would be hurt. And the Chavetz, it's all, you know, I don't know what Rav Shach was per se, but certainly if you assume that the person would be hurt, that makes perfect sense if you assume it's a shutzpah. You know, I thought you got four PhDs from Columbia. Turns out they were fake. You got it from Panama, not Columbia. And really, I invested with the wrong guy. So those are, I think, four or five nafkaminas that really come from the Shaila. I just want to, I want to mention, just to conclude, two things. One is a very interesting Shaila, which I saw 10 minutes before the shir. I didn't have time to really read them carefully, so I don't know what the issues are. But I saw the Minchas Yitzchak had a fascinating Shaila. Can you make a deal with a Zvulin who's not Shomer Shabbos? Might there be a problem with that? So I saw that he discussed the larger issue, which yeshivas and shuls always have to deal with, which is taking money from non-from people, and do you give them COVID, do you not give them COVID? And that's a complicated kind of a case. But to what extent there might be unique Yisachar Zvulin ramifications of that? If your Zvulin is not from, so that was his Shaila, and just it's worth thinking about in Chilik Vav of his shuvas. The last thing to mention, which is I think what Joel was anticipating, which is that there's this famous chiddush that they quote from Rav Moshe, although if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm missing something, I think the Shach said it in one sentence. It took Rav Moshe 20 pages. The Shach has a one-liner in that Siman in Yerodeah, Sifkat and Beis, where he seems to say the same thing. But Rav Moshe is known to have this chiddush, in which he says that it's mamish 50-50. Namely, if you think you're a Yisachar, you're just going to give a little bit of schar to the guy, you're giving up 50% of your Gan Eden. And Zvulin, you think you're just going to give the guy a schum? How much does it take to live? You live in Lakewood, you live in Baltimore, well, it's only $27,000. No, you have to give half of your money. Anything else is just something else. But that's Rav Moshe's chiddush. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush, which is why, according to Rav Moshe, it almost never exists, such a concept. And the Shach has a lashon, which is, again, it's only one sentence. It's a bit more vague, but he basically says, everything is yachdav, everything is equal, everything is... What I want to point out, so Rav Asher Weiss, for example, and others, but I saw Rav Asher Weiss quoted this, Rav Moshe, he quoted it from Rav Moshe, and he thinks it's a Dabar Tema, it's impossible, it doesn't make any sense. And so the minog is usually not to assume like that, but it is this chumrah, or if you will call it that, of Rav Moshe. And he points out that the Avkas Rochel seems to be explicitly against this. Now Rav Moshe, as we've seen, he is consistently a shutfus man. He holds of that model. But I did not include this in the Afkaminas, because Lav Dafka, if you hold a shutfus, it means you have to give. Just think again of a contemporary business model. I don't have to give half of my net worth to this guy from, right? I mean, unless I was a fool and gave it all to Madoff. Many people made that mistake, but no one thinks you have to do that to be a good investor. On the contrary, you might not want to give so much of your net worth to one person. So I don't think you have to say it if you hold the shutfus approach. But again, Rav Moshe clearly was viewing it as we're not just shutfus in this investment, we're shutfus in life. Never half of my life goes to you, half of your life comes to me. So you don't have to have such an extreme formulation, but certainly it's only Shaykh or Moshe's thing. It's only Shaykh if you started with the shirtless approach and then you went all the way to the extreme. Certainly one could start with the shirtless approach and not go off the cliff like Moshe, but that's the last point. Okay? Everyone should learn, and everyone should get a lot of tzedakah. I believe in drilling and alternative fuels.
Right. You would have to